if I was a pisshead about any of it.
You weren't, I said. He had been a pisshead about some of it, but I didn't think he'd been able to help it. And at his age, I likely would have been pissier by far. I watched him walk toward the restored Bel Air his father had left behind, a car of roughly the same vintage as the one in our shed, but a good deal less lively. Halfway across the parking lot, he paused, looking at Shed B, and I paused with the smoldering stub of my cigarette poised before my lips, watching to see what he'd do. He moved on instead of going over. Good. I took a final puff on my delightful tube of death, thought about crushing it on the hot top, and found a place for it in the butt can instead, where roughly 200 previous butts had been buried standing up. The others could crush out their smokes on the pavement if they wanted to. Arky would sweep them up without complaint. But it was better if I didn't do that. I was the Sarge, after all, the guy who sat in the big chair. I went into the barracks. Stephanie Colucci was in dispatch, drinking a Coke and reading a magazine. She put the Coke down and smoothed her skirt over her knees when she saw me. "What's up, sweetheart?" I asked.
"Nothing much. Communications are clearing up, though not as fast as they usually do after one of those. I've got enough to keep track of things."
"What things?"
"Nine is responding to a car fire on the I-87 exit 9 ramp. Max says the driver's a salesman headed for Cleveland, lit up like a neon sign and refusing a field sobriety test. 16 with a possible break-in at Statler Ford. Jeff Cutler with vandalism over at Statler Middle School, but he's just assisting. The local police have got that one."
"That it?"
"Paul Loving is 1098 for home in his cruiser. His son's having an asthma attack."
"You might forget to put that on the report."
Steffi gave me a reproachful look, as if she hardly needed me to tell her that. "What's going on in Shed B?"
"Nothing," I said. "Well, nothing much. Normalizing. I'm out of here. If anything comes up, just..." I stopped, sort of horrified.
"Sandy," she asked, "is something wrong?"
"If anything comes up, call Tony Shane Dinks," I'd been about to say, as if 20 years hadn't slipped under the bridge and the old Sarge wasn't dribbling mindlessly in front of Nick at night in a Statler nursing home. "Nothing's wrong," I said. "If anything comes up, call Frank Soderberg. It's his turn in the barrel."
"Very good, sir. Have a nice night."
"Thanks, Steph. Right back at you."
As I stepped out, the Bel Air rolled slowly toward the driveway with one of those groups Ned likes, Wilco, or maybe the Jayhawks, blaring from the custom speakers. I lifted a hand and he returned the wave with a smile, a sweet one. Once more I found it hard to believe I'd been so angry with him. I stepped over to the shed and assumed the position, that feet-apart sidewalk superintendent stance that makes everyone feel like a Republican somehow, ready to heap contempt on welfare slackers at home and flag-burning foreigners abroad.